time, yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever the David has just been speaking to us about, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we spoke about his love, and all the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how that they will never change. And that's this morning we can just briefly have a look at some of these characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we say the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And if you haven't got the Bible, just listen and I'll start to read it to you. We'll just go through a few thoughts here. We've been enjoying this morning the time around the Lord's table. He's asked us to come together to remember him in this way by partaking of the emblems upon the table. And we remembered him in his death this morning, how he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And we've heard how that he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he is now seated at God's right hand. And he's in our very midst this morning. We praise God this morning that those of us who have trusted him as our Savior, he has saved us. And we endeavor to live that life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived. Sometimes when we want to do certain things, we look to a certain person, whether it's maybe a certain game that is played, and people always say, oh, well, I've looked up to so-and-so. They use the word idol, don't they? But we look to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and I think this is one way, I suppose, that we can exhort ourselves. We can exhort ourselves through the scriptures concerning God's word and how we should live. And by the life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived himself upon the earth. We just turn to a Song of Solomon in chapter 5. And I'll read from verse 10. You just think of these words. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and sickly thick. His feet are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling milk. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl, his belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as cedars. His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful word? And just to keep in the back of our minds that he thinks the same yesterday, today and forever. And the psalmist here, he could say this, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. What a wonderful friend we have. I do not intend to go through all these items here, but just to make mention that the white here speaks of his perfect humanity. And his infinite purity, the infinite purity of his divine nature. The white, his perfect humanity. We were speaking in Sunday school this morning and we were referring to the offerings that were brought to the tabernacle. And how that those offerings had to be without spot and without blemish. How the sheep that was brought had to be without spot and without blemish and had to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. and was pointed at hell through that. That sort of offering had to be done every day. But praise God that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he offered himself, it was once and for all. The gold that we read about speaks of his deity. The eyes speak of his sympathy. And as we mention these things, I won't go into them, but you yourself, I'm sure, on many occasions, have read these things in the scriptures. You've thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've thought about his walk on this earth, and these things will bring to your mind some of the things, I'm sure, that the Lord has done. The eyes speak of his sympathy. His lips, it speaks of his gracious word. The belly speaks of God coming down to dwell amongst men. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as our brother's been telling us, he came from heaven's glory in the form of a man to dwell amongst men and die on the cross of Calvary. He's lost. No change, always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. His legs, able to accomplish our redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could accomplish that redemption for you and I on the cross of Calvary. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He was the only worthy one. His countenance, as we read, well, what did the centurion say? I find no fault in this just man. As we think of our Lord Jesus Christ and we think of his life, we find that on many occasions people have tried to depict him in the form of maybe pictures. I know when I've seen the picture in London, in the big church there where the Lord Jesus Christ was depicted standing in front of the door, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. And many people, even in Sunday school lessons today, sometimes they have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and they try to depict him. Sometimes I go for a walk during lunch hour and I look through one of the shops, and the shop's always got quite a lot of paintings in there. And there's always, well, I've seen a painting of the Last Supper and how they depict the Lord Jesus Christ there. And it seems to be a very popular one, because whenever it's in the shop and I go in there, and a few days' time it's always gone, behold. But men have always tried to depict him, but they would never be able to do this. They would never really be able to paint or to portray the Lord Jesus Christ as he really is. And we are going to see that when we see him face to face. Our brother, in his prayer, he mentions that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do the work of the Father. And he came to speak the words of the Father. And that is how we see our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we will depict him, through his word and through his deed. The kind, loving, and gentle Savior that he is. I was listening to a radio program one evening, and it was about a preacher. A comment was made about a preacher who was having some gospel sense meetings. And at the outset of one of the meetings, there was a gentleman there, and he was very rowdy even before the meeting started. And the preacher went up to this man, and he took him by the hand and led him out and put him outside the tent. I don't know whether there was any scuffle or not, but he put him outside. Anyway, one of the ladies, just before they were starting the music, the hymn, the preacher walked up to the platform, and one of the sisters stopped him, and she said to him, "You know something? The Lord Jesus would never have done something like that." I suppose she was thinking about the man. I don't know whether she was thinking about his salvation, whether she was thinking about, you know, maybe he could settle down or something like that. But he felt for the man, because the preacher had put him out. And even though he was rowdy, he felt his philosophy there. And she said to him, "If the Lord had been here, he would never have done that. Maybe that gentleness and that love came through this dear sister. But of course the preacher made his comment and said, well, he said, if the Lord had been here, he would have cast out the devil in that man. But since I couldn't do it, I had to put them both out. But anyway, he was thinking about the tender heartedness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. He's the same today as yesterday, he changes not. Though the world may change and seasons fall, he's my rock of ages, all in all, yesterday, today, and forever. Christ changes not. Mark chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to brave abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Here we have this beautiful story of the cleansing of the leper. But the point that I would like to bring out this morning, this love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his compassion. This leper, well, I suppose, for all that period of time that he had this illness, this disease of leprosy, no one ever came near him. They all kept their distance. We know how that in the Old Testament, anyone who had this leprosy disease had to say, unclean, unclean, and people kept their distance. And so for all this time, this man had never felt a clean hand touch him. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ comes along, and he could have healed this man by the spoken word, just by a simple word. But what do we find? We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, he put forth his hand and he touched it. He didn't have to do that. Nobody else would do it. But there were the crowds around, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he put forth his hand and he touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Now isn't that a wonderful illustration of the love and the compassion and the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this man, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ told him not to go around saying things, but he was so overjoyed, he was so overwhelmed, the fact that nobody else would touch him, but the Lord Jesus Christ came and touched him and healed him, that he went about telling everyone he could find. Now we may say, as the psalmist or as the writers of the Song of Solomon said, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. There's just not anything that you can point a finger at, no matter which side. But still we can just have a look at some of these qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them is the quality of love. In fact, we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Brother David mentioned that as well this morning. verse 4 says, "Charity suffereth long, and is kind." Or love suffereth long, and is kind. Envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. And as we see the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the instance of this leper, he wasn't puffed up, he wasn't proud, but he came to this man and touched him and healed him. 1 John chapter 1, chapter 4. Reading from verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What a wonderful quality of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful love for you and me to aspire to. Normally we find that we won't love someone unless they love us first. And we won't do things for people sometimes unless they do something for us first. But here we find that herein is love. Not that we love God. In fact, many of us turned our back toward God. Many of us didn't want to think about him. Many of us didn't want to hear his word, hear his name, or be seen amongst those who spoke his name. And yet God loved us, irrespective of our attitude towards him before we came to know him as our own and personal Savior. He still loved us, and he still sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God. And remember, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And verse 17. And here we read a little bit about another quality of our Lord Jesus Christ, the quality of wisdom. Verse 17, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and is easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." The quality of wisdom. Here we find that in this verse here, it's often referred to as the seven pillars of wisdom. And don't we see in this here everything that our Lord Jesus Christ is, everything that he was on earth, and that wonderful life that he lived as an example for you and I to follow. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Here we have the quality of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, mercy, temperance. Against such there is no law. Here we've just seen again some of the qualities individually of our Lord Jesus Christ. What other qualities were there? There was his patience. Our Lord Jesus Christ had such wonderful patience. Patience with his disciples on many occasions. And I don't have to go into detail, but you would be able to look them up and find out the patience that he had with his disciples. What about Peter, the patience with Peter when he denied the Lord? And most of all, dear friends, this morning, if you think of your life, and you think of, I think of mine, and we think of, our day-to-day activities, what patience the Lord has with you and I. Is a verse that says, the Lord has not dealt with us according to our iniquity, but has been tender-hearted, long-suffering toward us. He's been so patient toward us, and that's all we've got to think of. So when we get to dealing with other people, let's think of the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's what the sister was thinking of about before the preacher put the man out of the meeting. Luke chapter 18. Now this is one of my favorite verses. Luke chapter 18. From verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Here we see another attribute, the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, even towards the little children. And the disciples on this occasion, they felt that the children were getting in the way, they were not that important, and that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to mum and dad, and that to some of the adults, and maybe they should perhaps be somewhere else. I know when I was in the company of grown-ups, when I was a little boy, my parents used to say to me, now, little children should be seen and not heard, or be in bed if we contributed something. But that was the way it was. And here we find with the disciples, maybe they thought the little children should be in bed, or they should be somewhere else maybe, and they tried to push them away. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, I don't know about those little kids then, but having a lot of dealings with children, you know what they are like, especially today. I think it was only this morning when Paul spoke to some little boy. He came in 5 minutes before Sunday school closed. And usually they get a lolly and they get something else. He came 5 minutes, him and his sister came in 5 minutes before we closed and expected us supposed to get all those things. And Paul said to him, where were you for the lesson? And of course he gave him a bit of speech. He says, well, what was I supposed to know? Or I didn't know. And he gave quite a bit of speech, actually. And I'm thinking of an occasion when perhaps we might have said to a little boy or a girl, well, I'm sorry, but you can't come in. And then they turn to someone else and said, and the next person said, yes, it's okay, they can come. And it happened to be a parent. Now, this wasn't Sunday school, this was some other occasion. And, of course, the little boy turned around and touched his tongue out of it to say, well, there you go. You didn't want to let you in, but they said it's okay. Now, I don't know whether any of the boys and girls did this to the disciples when the Lord Jesus Christ had suffered the little children to come unto me, whether they might have turned around to the disciples and had a smile on their face and said, oh, well, you see, you wouldn't let us come, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself has invited us. But so kind was our Lord Jesus Christ, so kind was the Savior to bid the children welcome, but there are many, many thousands who have never heard his voice. The Bible they have never read, they know not that the Savior said, suffer the little children to come unto me. How kind was our Savior when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord put back his ear and healed him. Psalm 45 verse 2, you won't say amen. It says here about the Lord Jesus Christ, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Grace is poured into thy lips. And as we think of the words that were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ, well, what wonderful words he spoke. Words of the Father. What wonderful works he did. Works that God sent him to do. There is a wonderful chorus that we used to sing, and this is the words of it. It says, absolutely tender, absolutely true, understanding all things, understanding you, infinitely loving, comfortingly near. This is God our Father. What have we to fear? He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And then just lastly, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As we've been thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and praising him and worshipping him and adoring him. And as we thought of these qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read this verse and take it to ourselves as we leave this place, and we say in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. May the Lord just bless those dear mouths to our hearts, and may it help us to love him more.